Vineyard Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from the movement.
The Sunday before Christmas, and I hope and pray that in the hustle and the bustle and in the process of the shopping and the cooking and the trips and how and where and when are we eating and what's this going to look like, that you guys have made sure to remember what the reason for the season is. That this is not about the spirit of Christmas or Santa Claus, but this is about God's gift to humanity called Jesus Christ. And we're in a series right now called At the Movies. We're celebrating Christmas, watching movies, and growing in our faith. And as I said last week, we do not believe that you need to pull or derive any theology or doctrine from anything that Hollywood produces. But we believe that God can sanctify anything, and we can learn from anything. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. And so we're on the last and final journey of this series called At the Movies. And today, the film we're going to watch, I actually kind of need to apologize because it's kind of an intense Christmas film. And in fact, it's almost one of those that really shouldn't be Christmas, but they tried to make it one. And it's about a young boy who's actually kidnapped and abducted by a seemingly well-mannered individual. And then this group of people try to manipulate and brainwash this young boy into living a life that he really wasn't designed to live. So let's watch this clip.
So comfortable. Here we are. It's time to go to sleep. Maybe by next Christmas you'll have a home. Merry Christmas, my angel.
Another very successful year. So, after all that hard work, it's time to start preparations for next Christmas. What in the name of Sam Hill is that?
Little Buddy Diapers.
His name is Buddy. He must have snuck into your sack at the orphanage. What do we do?
So, Santa had a decision to make. Fortunately, when it comes to babies, Santa's a pushover. So Buddy stayed with an older elf who had always wanted a child, but had been so committed to building toys, he had forgotten to settle down. Santa! Yes, I raised Buddy. I was his adopted father.
Okay, so I tricked you. It's not a scary movie at all. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies. If you've never seen it, I'm sorry. You probably don't even know Jesus, and we'll help you with that by the end of the day. And for those of you that are thinking, what in the world? This is such an elementary movie. Yes, it is. But there's so many great truths we can pull from this. And I just want to challenge you with the idea and the concept of this. Right from the beginning, we discover Buddy the elf, right, who actually doesn't know his father, doesn't know where he's come from. And I love how the movie begins with the nun saying, "I hope you find a home this Christmas." And I believe that there's so many people going through life, many, many people going through life who actually don't know their biological mother or their father. Many, even in this room, may have been adopted. And this is not time to turn to your kid and tell your kid they were adopted. But many of you, you may have gone through life without a mom or dad. But I want to tell you this, that there is a heavenly father who cares about you more than you could possibly imagine. And I believe there's so many people going through Christmas that don't know their father. And I think that God's prayer for you would be the same as that nun in the orphanage. His prayer for you would be that he hopes that you can find a home this Christmas. In fact, the scripture talks about how he wants to welcome everyone into his family. Not in some creepy, weird kind of circumstance, but just to say, "Hey, I've created you to belong." You know, so many of us struggle with the idea of knowing our Father. And there's a difference between knowing of him and knowing him. I used this illustration the other day in our Welcome to Church party. I don't know, a few years back, my wife and I, we ate dinner with Kobe Bryant at Javier's in Newport. And it was a really cool experience for us. He sat about three booths over from us. And I was sitting eating dinner, and all of a sudden I looked up, and the whole restaurant got quiet. This guy, a huge, tall dude with a hoodie over, walked in, and I go, "Megan, that is Kobe Bryant." She said, "Who?" And then all around the room, you see cell phones slip out, and people start going like this. And I sat down three booths over from Kobe Bryant. But guess what? That doesn't mean that I know him at all. And so many people say they know God, but really they just know of him. Or they associate their knowledge of him to church attendance. And there's so much more for you and for me. But you need to know this is a struggle that many people have had for centuries. In fact, not just ordinary folk, but some of the men who walked with Jesus on the earth. This was a struggle for the first early church apostles. In John 14, we read a scripture in chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. And Philip is talking to Jesus. And he says, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." He said, "Man, if you could just show us God, the God that we've heard about our whole life, the God that we would walk to the temple and the rabbis would tell us of this God, Yahweh, who did miracles for our family for centuries past. Jesus, if you could just show us the Father, it would be enough for us." And I love Jesus' response. He said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." I just want you to know that God's prayer for you, hey, look me in the eyes for a moment. God's prayer for you is that you would find a home in a relationship with him this year. And that isn't just for people who may be new to church today for the very first time, but maybe for some of us today who walked in this room wavering in our faith, wavering in our belief, wavering in our relationship with God. I think today, through the story of Buddy the Elf, we're going to find that God wants us to come home. The interesting part about this is that when you don't know where you've come from, it affects the direction that you're headed. Let's watch this next clip.
Though a Buddy grew twice as fast, he wasn't any different from the other children.
Not too fast, Buddy.
I mean, not really.
Treat every day like Christmas.
Number two.
There's room for everyone on the nice list.
Number three.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Well, if he hasn't figured out he's a human by now, I don't think he ever will. I don't think he ever will.
I think they're too small.
They're just special.
so good, buddy. Are you okay?
I'll be okay. I just need a glass of water.
That pop goes the weasel thing is the creepiest thing that can happen all day. You're good now. You're in the clear. This is one of my favorite movies. That clip of him taking a shower. Sometimes I feel like that in our house. The shower head's a little too low. But hey, listen. Buddy wasn't created to be an elf. He's a human being raised by elves. He wasn't designed to sleep in an elf bed. His nimble little fingers couldn't make Etch-a-Sketches fast enough. He fell behind in his quota. You saw him playing basketball and slamming it down. He's a little guy. It's just a horrible thing. Buddy was not created to be an elf. He was created to be a human. And I think that when you and I don't realize where we've come from, all too often it's easy to head in a direction that we were not designed. If we don't know where we've come from, if we don't recognize the God who created us and his purpose for our life, then it's too easy to head in a direction that is contrary to the way that God designed you and me to live. I wonder how many marriages people have jumped into because there is no other alternative, because they were living a lifestyle contrary to the way that God designed them, and they found themselves in the midst of a scenario they didn't know what to do, and maybe the best thing is just to get married. And now, 5, 10, 15 years later, we're just trying to navigate through a hellacious relationship, and it all started because years ago I wasn't living the way that God designed me to live. Now, I believe that God has a redemptive quality on every person's life. And he can do, in fact, Romans 8:28 says that he's working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if you found yourself in the midst of a scenario that was created because years ago you were living contrary to the way you were designed, God can still work a miracle in the midst of it. You need to know that. But I wonder how many relationships, maybe even today, those of you that aren't married yet, you would have completely avoided, or you should completely avoid, but because you're not living the way God designed you to live, you found yourself caught up in it. You don't know what to do or where to go. I think about what is normal for young adults and for really humans of all ages today. It's okay to smoke anything, drink anything, and do anything or anyone that you want. Live it up. YOLO, baby. And we laugh about the saying YOLO, but the truth is so many people live their life that way. Completely contrary to the Word of God. To the way that you and I were designed. And the problem is those decisions that are made while living contrary to God's design and intent for me leave a residue. They leave feelings of shame and pain and regret. And I wonder, out under the sky, I wonder how many decisions we would alter if we recognize, and listen, I'm talking to you, Christ follower, if we recognize who created us and designed us. I wonder how many of us would continue to live life striving for leisure and comfort. Allowing the gifts and the talents that God's given us to go dormant and to hibernate. I wonder how many of us would continue to live a life like that just because we don't recognize where we've come from. God didn't design you just to live for comfort. You have something uniquely designed in you that nobody else has. God designed you from the beginning of the foundations of the earth. He formed and molded and fashioned you. There's nobody that can do the things that you can do. And when you say, I want to be a good steward of what God's given me and help advance his kingdom, miracles take place. History is made and the world is changed. But I wonder how many of us sit in a seat today comfortably, allowing those gifts and talents to just lie dormant simply because we don't know where we've come from. I wonder how many of us live a life without joy. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is a feeling. But joy is a choice. Listen, hey, newsflash. Sometimes life sucks. We all get it. Right? Anybody experience a season like that? Can you raise your hand? Look around the room. If your hand's not up, they're lying right now. Punch them in the face, and then they'll know life sucks sometimes. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes there's things that you sincerely do not know how to navigate through. Those things happen. But joy is a choice. And the problem is so many of us don't know where we've come from. And we realize or we think that our joy and our happiness is built on the circumstances externally. When we recognize where we've come from and who God's created us to be, we realize that joy can be a choice. I love this passage of Scripture. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to read the Amplified Version. And this is what it says. This is God's promise for you. Listen to me. This is God's promise for you. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtue and perfection of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You are God's chosen people. He paused all of eternity to create and to make you. And yes, things in this life will be a challenge. Jesus said that. He said, this is one of my favorite verses. He said, tribulation you will have with you always. Jesus said, life is going to be challenging a lot. But he didn't leave us hanging with that cliffhanger. He followed that phrase up with these amazing words. He said, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. What does that mean? That I've got hope for you. And that regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what you're going through, you can experience joy. Why? Because God created you. And hey, guess what? This life is not about this life. You and I are headed at life speed towards eternity. It's just around the bend. Listen, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like. You sit in this room to think back to 5 years ago, and it feels like just yesterday. It feels like just yesterday. It was March 19th, 1997, and I was wearing khaki pleated shorts and a horrible old navy polo, and I'm walking down the back hallway of my church out to the parking lot with my future wife, Megan Ellingwood Lavorne. And we were walking to her Buick Oldsmobile Delta 80 Nasty with leather seats that she had specifically parked in the back of the parking lot. And we were going to sit down in the car and I was going to say, hey, I like you. And she was going to say, I like you too. And I was going to say, my family's kind of weird. I can't date. So you want to not date me? And she would say, absolutely, blue eyes, baby. She didn't say that part. I made that up. Feels like just yesterday. 1997. Just yesterday. It's a few pounds lighter. Didn't have so much girth right here. Tried to smile it away in the pictures. It doesn't work. Just yesterday, look at me in the eyes. We're headed at life speed towards eternity. But if you know where you've come from, then you know where you're headed. And that brings joy. Hey, this isn't heaven. This is not heaven. If you know Jesus, you're headed towards a better place. So in all circumstances, in all trials, in all tribulation, you can know joy. In this next clip, Buddy has found out he's a human. And now he's trying to figure out what to do next. Let's watch this clip.
Hello, Buddy.
Oh, hi, Leon.
Why the long face, partner?
It seems I'm not an elf.
Of course you're not. You're 6'3" and had a beard since you were 15.
Papa says my real father lives in a magical place far away. I don't know what to do.
At least you have a daddy. I was just rolled up one day and left out here in the cold.
But the thing is, I've never even left the North Pole.
Buddy, I've been around the world many times when I was a young cumulus nimbus cloud. It's a wonderful place filled with wondrous creatures, except dogs. Oh, by the way, don't eat the yellow snow.
Oh, I know that.
All I'm saying is this might be the golden opportunity to find out who you really are.
What's your name? My name's Buddy. Does someone need a hug?
And you'll find your fortune falling all over town.
Yeah.
Mr. Hobbs, it's me on the intercom.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think someone sent you a Christmas gram.
Dad!
All right, let's get it over with.
I walked all day and night to find you.
You look like you came from the North Pole.
That's exactly where I came from. Santa must have called you.
Oh, yeah, sure. He just got off the cell phone with me.
You did?
So, go on.
Go on with what?
Well, are you going to sing a song or something, or can I just go back to work?
A song? Yeah. Anything for you, Dad. I'm here with my dad, and we never met, and he wants me to sing him a song. And, I was adopted, but you didn't know I was born. So I'm here now. I found you, Daddy. And guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you. I love you. Some of you may feel like you're married to that raccoon, but I promise you're not. You're not. But just give him a hug. Yesterday, Megan had kind of a frantic day, and I was like, you just need a Christmas hug. I came in dancing like this. She goes, if you give me a Christmas hug, I'm going to punch you in the face. So don't do that. But yeah. I love how the snowman, he depicts the golden opportunity for Buddy to be in pursuit of his father. A little scary, a little crazy, a lot of unknown. But he said, hey, this might be your golden opportunity. And I believe that the golden opportunity for you this Christmas season is to go in pursuit of the Father. That's the golden opportunity. Look at me for a minute. I know that we at the Movement Church, we make it our goal to reach people from all faith backgrounds and in all types of journeys in their faith background. But look at me. I want to challenge you over the next 3 to 4 days just to lean in to Jesus, to lean into what God wants to do in your life. To go in pursuit of the Father. You need to know 3 things. As you do that, there's 3 things you need to know about being in pursuit of the Father. Number one is he's never been more accessible to you than he is today. Never been more accessible. I think so many times we think that God is like my neighbor Pat. She was the lady from not a good place. We would play outside. We had a cul-de-sac. It was awesome. You know, like 5 or 6 houses in a circle. And we played in that cul-de-sac until we wore it down. But there's one house to the left-hand side that, man, if you kicked a ball into that yard, literally she would come out with a broomstick, screaming, cursing, and swearing because the rubber ball hit the grass and bent the blades. I'll never forget the day that we were in the alley. In Texas, they have alleys. It's this little strip of drive that runs between the houses in the back, and you park your car. It's weird. Anyways, moving on. We were in the alley, and I actually kicked a ball into Pat's backyard. Dun, dun, dun. It was horrible. My friend's like, you got to go over there. You got to get that. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? She's going to take me to hell with her. This is going to be a bad thing. You got to get over that fence right now, Carrie. Get that ball. I said, okay, keep an eye out. And I climbed the fence. I jump over, get in the backyard. Hey! She comes screaming like demons are flying out of her face. She's got like blow torches and she's trying to kill me. And I run, I hit the fence and jump over, run for my life. And she lived across the street, so I don't know what I was thinking. Everything ended up bad. I think I got a whooping that day. I'm from the South. Don't judge my parents. And I think so many times we think that God is like my neighbor Pat, just waiting for us to mess up. That he's not accessible. That he's ruling with the iron fist. With a Rolodex, I don't know why, a Rolodex of your past experiences, your mistakes and your shortcomings. But that couldn't be further from the truth. He's never been more accessible to you and to me than today. In the God of the Old Testament, things were different. Before Jesus came, And people could only go to church once a year, and they would stand outside of the church building while one man who represented the entire nation would go in before God and plead for forgiveness. And then God sent the ultimate ransom for you and for me. It's the reason we celebrate Christmas. Through his son Jesus, who paid the sacrifice for the sin of all humankind. And the moment he did that, he made God accessible. He's not like my neighbor Pat waiting to destroy you. But he's accessible to you today. In fact, hey, newsflash, he's here today. Leaning in to see how you'll respond. He's never been more accessible. He's never been more loving. He's never been more loving. His grace is undeniable. His love is indescribable. Unconditional love. If your worst sin was to be broadcasted across the world, the worst thought that you ever had flashed through your mind, most of humanity would turn their back on you. But he never would. Ever. Not only that, but he says, my grace is sufficient. It's everything that you need. And you need to know this, the third thing. He's done everything he needs to do for you. So many times we're waiting for that perfect moment. We're waiting for something to happen in this room, maybe a light to flash. Okay, God, if you're really real and you really care about me and you really love me, then this is going to happen. If Pastor Kerry is preaching, then he's going to, get angel's wings and then begin to fly around the room. And I think sometimes we put these parameters on God and expect something that's so ridiculous, but you need to know he's already done everything that he needs to do for you. His grace is sufficient, his love is unconditional, and he's more accessible to you now than he ever has been before. But the question is, are you in pursuit of him? That is what Christmas is about. Not the Christmas spirit, not glad tidings and good joy. It's just for fun and having good food. But it's glad tidings and good joy to know that God sent his son. And no matter what you're walking through in this season, he's waiting for you. In fact, as we play this last clip, I think it begins to reveal the true purpose for Christmas. Let's watch this.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He knows it.
Wait, you're not singing.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You're just moving your lips.
Michael, please, what's the big deal?
Dad?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Every movie at Christmas time has something to do with making you feel good. It's about Santa Claus coming to town. And I love how we ended this clip with Santa Claus coming to town, but that's not what Christmas is about. You know what? This season for you and me should be about our pursuit of God, but Christmas is actually about God's pursuit of you. You see, it's not about the fact that Jesus is coming to town. It's the fact that he came. He came already 2,000 years ago. God pursued you so much that he paused all of eternity and he sent his son for you and for me. And that is what Christmas is about. The pursuit of mankind. But that can even seem vague and ambiguous. The pursuit of you sitting in this room today. He wanted to pursue you so much that he stopped eternity and sent his only son just for you. Just for you. It wasn't like this, adoption at a pet store where it's like, maybe we'll look for the right one. No. Specifically for you. I love how the scripture says it. Listen, this is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. This is the Message version. It says this: long before he laid down the earth's foundation, he had us in mind. He had you in mind. Before he spoke and there was light. Before he separated the dry land from the water, he had you in mind. He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. I love that passage, that you are the focus of his love. Listen to me. Some of you even right now are thinking, no, you're not talking to me. You're talking to somebody else. No, you are the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Listen to this. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. Long, long ago, like the beginning of a Star Wars clip, he decided to adopt you into his family. And he set that plan into motion when he gave us Jesus. Christmas is not about feeling good. It's not about cookies and presents and a great meal. It's all about God's pursuit for you and for me. And listen, I just want to challenge you. We've got 4 days left until we switch gears and start thinking about a new year. What would it look like if you made the next 4 days of your life about pursuing him? He's more accessible than he's ever been before. He loves you now more than he ever has in the history of mankind. And he's done everything that he needs to do. And now he's simply pursuing you. Will you pursue him back? Can you recognize who created you and how you were designed to live? You're not like Buddy the Elf, an elf or a human living in an elf world. You were designed to live a great and an amazing life. You were designed to accomplish great and amazing things. And you have a God who loves you in a great and an amazing way. And Christmas, look at me in the eyes, is all about his pursuit of you. Before the foundation of the earth was laid, before he took the dirt and he formed and he fashioned Adam and breathed life into him, he had you in mind. He knew 2014 would be here. And he created you with great things to do. I don't care where you are in your journey with Christ today. He's still pursuing you. Are you pursuing him? Are you pursuing him? He's waiting. He loves you. It's just a choice. It's just a choice. You know, I always think about this. That in all the Christmas movies, they always end great. Everything kind of seems to wrap up and all makes sense in the end. But that's not the way that life works. Life doesn't just kind of fall into place. More often than not, we have to make the right choices to pursue God's purpose for our life. Or things can continue to spiral out of control. Some of you may have walked in today feeling like things are spiraling out of control in your life. When I talk about God, you feel like there's a gap so huge that when I talk about his grace and his unconditional love for you, you feel like it's impossible to even understand or grasp that. Well, the Bible says that this gap is real. It's called a sin gap. And there's a consequence for sin. You see, all of us have sinned. The Bible shares that. I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned. And there's a consequence for sin. And it's very grave and sobering. The Bible says that the consequence for sin is death and an eternity in hell. But the Bible also offers an amazing, radical solution. The Bible calls it a gift. It's salvation through Jesus. You see, he paid the ransom, the payment, the consequence for my sin and for yours. And not only that, but in a moment, he closed the gap so that we could experience a loving and an accessible God. Now, you don't just kind of bump into that and kind of happen into that by accident. It's a choice. It's not good enough just to attend a church service or to be a good person. You have to make a choice. You don't have to walk down an aisle. You don't have to sing really loud. You just have to simply say with your heart, Jesus, I want to be yours. And if you're here today and you've never made that decision, in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I want to challenge you right where you're seated, without moving, we won't embarrass you, to pray that prayer on this Christmas Sunday. Close that gap and watch and experience the love of God as He continues to pursue you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, no one looking around? If you're here today and you've never made that decision, or maybe you're here today and you've been running and you're ready to come back to Him, as I pray this prayer, I just want you to simply repeat it after me in your own heart, but pray it with all your heart. Just say this, just say, Dear God, I know you're real. I know you've called me, you've given me purpose, and that you love me. God, I've got sin in my life. I'm not perfect. But thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Would you forgive me of my sins? And all over this room, just say this phrase, say, Jesus, I give you my life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.